Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to Woo Agency Chat, a Do the Woo podcast show. We would like to thank our sponsor, OmniSend. Whether it's for integration into your Woo product or building sites for clients, OmniSend is the solution for email and SMS marketing with their CRM solution for WooCommerce shops and your own website. I'll tell you more about OmniSend later in the show, but let's dive into the conversation.
Hi, and welcome to Do the Woo. I'm Robbie Adair, and today I have two people with me on the show. One, Robert Jacoby, as you usually are hearing on here. Robert, tell us a little bit about what's going on in your life, and let's definitely tell us about the company that you're working for now.
My lovely co-host, Robbie, always teases me. Happy New Year, first and foremost. This is probably one of the first Do the Woos podcasts of the year, and obviously we're changing it up by doing it with video. Crazy. For the audience, I'm Robert Jacoby, VP Americas at Botgard. So happy to be here with Robbie and our special guest.
Yes. So joining us today is Marcus Burnett. And many of you know Marcus. Marcus is actually going to have another Do the Woo podcast as well. And so Marcus, tell us, one, how you doing? And then two, just tell us, what's the name of the new podcast that you're going to be doing with Do the Woo?
Yeah. Hey, welcome. Welcome everyone to another new year. Yeah, some of you might know my voice from co-hosting Woo Biz Chat, but in 2025, I'm going to be starting WP Agency Tracks here in the Do the Woo Network, just continuing to build Bob's empire with new shows. It'll basically be kind of a broader version of this show, encompassing agency life just within the WordPress community, and I'm excited to get that started at the end of this month too.
Cool. Yeah, I tell you, a lot of our audience out there either run agencies or work in agencies. We know that. I mean, we, all three of us, we're at almost all the events. We see each other all the time. And we know that agencies make up a broad audience inside of the WordPress community, meaning they're the ones that are attending these events. They're the ones that are listening to this type of stuff because they need that, you know. It's always better to learn from other agencies' mistakes and successes than to, you know, try to do everything on your own. You can really expedite your agency if you listen to advice out there from other agencies. So cool. I'm glad there's going to be more information out there. Even for myself, I have an agency and I listen to these type of things because you just never know. You'll hear somebody. It could be the simplest thing. It could be like the way someone organizes their calendar, saved them a little bit of time. And you're like, oh, wow, that's a great idea. I'm going to implement that, you know? So anyway, so yes, as Robert said, this is a new year. So 2025. Wow. As a Gen Xer, I'm just going to say, makes me feel a little knowledgeable. That's what I'm going to say. It makes me feel knowledgeable.
Yes. Yes, Robbie. You and I are very knowledgeable.
We are very knowledgeable, Robert.
Not as knowledgeable as Bob, but I mean, yes.
Bob is wise. Bob is wise. It's a different level. We all are learning from Bob's with his podcast empire. But so 2025, tell me, I mean, I know, again, as an agency owner, one of the things I've been looking at are design trends that are coming up this year, or what, you know, what they're saying the design trends are going to be, what technologies they think are hot. So Robert, you're involved more in the hosting side of things because of what you're doing now is security, security at the server level, things like that. And so, you know, the hosting side of our industry really well, the security side of our industry. What are you seeing as potential trends this year?
So I'll take it from a reflection on 2024 and how that might actually incrementally improve in 2025. I had a wonderful conversation at CloudFest US with the chief support officer. That was her title. I'm just going to screw that up, but just going on memory. But that, as much as we joke and have joked throughout all of last year about AI, this AI, that, it's, you know, the little bits and pieces of AI that are actually useful and support redundant tasks. And I think we'll see more and more of that come into place where hosting companies are taking advantage of that for all sorts of customer support, all sorts of security, all sorts of this, then why not and whatnot. You know, that tier one support is going to keep shrinking from humans. So, you know, that's one of the things I'm curious to see how other hosting companies take advantage of that and what they're going to do with that. Because not only is it, you know, yay, we get to fire people, blah, blah, blah. That's, you know, sort of the, I mean, that's, you know, the awful business side of it.
That's not yay.
It's not yay, the awful business side of it. But you may actually get better answers quicker for all that tier one stuff. And I can't imagine that not a single hosting company is actively pursuing this. And Marcus maybe will give us some secret, you know, stuff that he can't talk about. But we'll just keep it, you know, between ourselves here.
Yeah. And I know Marcus also, you know, is in hosting world too, but I think of Marcus more as community. I don't know why. I just think of you as community because you're always in the community. And so I'm going to ask him about community.
You start one community site for WordPress and all of a sudden, I'm just kidding. That makes sense.
And then all of a sudden you're the expert. That's right. Yeah. And by the way, so Robert, just a little bit more about the AI side of things. As you know, I've been talking about AI at a lot of events. I love AI. That's what I mainly listen to podcasts about. I think it's fascinating. It's the most exciting thing. I've had my agency 22 years, and I swear it's the most exciting technology we've seen in all of that time. Because and so fast, developing so quickly, I should say. You know, the speed at which it is getting better is just amazing. Like, you can wake up tomorrow and tomorrow there's some other new tool that you're just like blown away with. It's crazy. Yeah,
it's just those incremental improvements that are happening every single day.
All the time. And so what we're going to see, I think, for AI, though, are the AI agents. That's going to be our big, big, big push this year. They started this year and they really took off. And the big corps now are looking at those. Google, I think, is going to be introducing some pretty amazing ones. They were showing some demos of it. And so just because when you start talking about AI agents, you can have them be very, very niche and specific in their knowledge base. And you can also give them personalities. And so this is a really cool thing, right? So we can have different agents doing different things. And then they can all talk together as well. So you can then compile all of that. So I think the AI agents is going to be a real exciting thing to watch this year. So Marcus, tell us, and you can also talk about hosting if you'd like to as well. And you can also talk about community. You can talk about whatever you would like, actually. What do you think about the coming year?
Yeah, I hate to just continue to belabor the AI thing, but that's something that I've, you know, been deeply excited about too. And I think that that will continue to permeate its way through. What I'm hoping, this isn't really a prediction so much, but what I'm hoping is that AI will focus on doing the things that I don't want to do. I see a lot of AI like, AI will build your site, design your site for you and put it together. I'm like, well, that's kind of the fun part. The design part and putting the site together for our clients is kind of the fun part. Why don't you do like a discovery process for me and put a proposal together for me that accurately reflects the amount of money that I should make for the project or whatever. That's the stuff that's, I mean, some people also find that exciting, but that's the part for me that I struggle more with, and I'd rather let AI handle that and let me do the actual fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. Let AI handle the tedium, our routine stuff that we do. And I do think that we will find that, especially, I mean, if you're in the tech world, you're just web, you're going to start using those tools just because you have to keep up. Because if everybody else is using those tools and can do everything else faster, then you've got to keep up. So yeah, I do think that you will see that you're using those in your day-to-day. And I also think that what we're going to see a lot of on the web side of things is, I think that what you're saying, that where they're like, oh, this will design the whole website for you, I kind of feel like some of those tools, they've been implemented. The design side of things is not great. And again, it's not having that human element, you know, I think. Can it give you a rough draft? Can it give you ideas to start yourself? Absolutely. But we all know it's really that finishing touch that the humans do on it, I think, that makes it the most valuable, right? So what it's doing for us is it's saving us time of getting that first draft or maybe getting an inspiration. And then from there, we could take it from there, right? I could take it from there. I use it all the time with my writing. And proposals as well, Marcus. I use it for proposals already. Not like go generate me a proposal. What I do is I'll have a segment out of my proposal where I'm like describing what we're going to build for the client, right? And I'll then take that over to AI and just say like, hey, can you make this either, you know, a little less techie, or can you make this a little more techie? What I'm asking for it to do. And so I just ask it to kind of rewrite some of this stuff. Let me see it. I may or may not use that, but I may use some of the ideas from that for my next edit. So I use it for editing all the time with my writing.
I love OpenAI, where you can just dump all your specific information. So here are my last 10 proposals. Generate a proposal for this client with these requirements based on my, you know, library of proposals. You're going to have to go in and edit, but yeah.
You kind of do that now.
You're saving, you know, a whole day's worth of work right then and there.
We write a lot of client scripts for them for their videos that we're doing. And I 100% now, I use a combination of ChatGPT and Notebook LM. What I like about Notebook LM is it will allow me to put in sources that are more private. So they're not out there on the web. I'm not going to be exposing them to ChatGPT's brain to absorb. I'm keeping it more segregated there. And what I like about it is that I can then take stuff from there, stuff from ChatGPT, and then mold that together to make the perfect script. So yeah, I'm so excited about all the things. I'm like, I have like a list of things here that I'm going to try and switch over to use more AI powered tools for. So I'm very excited about that.
The amount of information you put into that private library of yours, and you know, they're the big ones. And we see that in WordPress on the hosting side with products like Extendify, Espresso AI, and all that. They're trying to leverage everything that happens at a hosting company with those customers, as well as, you know, their voodoo and magic to spin up a website. But again, those are sort of drafts, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, so while we're still on the AI topic, but I'll move us off of that in a minute, because we could spend the whole show talking about AI, obviously. The one thing I do want to ask, so I'm going to get your opinion on, what do you think about the automatic buying WP AI? What do we think we're going to see from this?
I'll let you know in 6 months.
I like no one even has a guess. I'm like, it's like, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with it.
You know, actually, my favorite purchase by Automatic last year was Beeper. And I'm really waiting to see how that the new iOS client will come out for that in 25. Because it actually is a pretty awesome tool.
Really? I haven't used it yet. I'll have to try it.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it connects up all your messages from LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, which those are the key ones, Slack. So I really have one app to rule them all, except for Apple Messages, which is completely not part of that ecosystem.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I haven't checked that out yet. I think my favorite tool that they bought in the last few years anyway is OneDay for my journaling. I love the journal. And so I love that tool. That's one of my favorites. So Marcus, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I was torn when they bought it and shut the whole thing down, because I'm on the waiting list ready to check out what's going on there. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting close to launching something that I can play with. And then they got, you know, it got acquired and they shut everything down, and they're going to build some of that stuff internally. So I'm excited to see what they do with it, but also at the same time was kind of bummed, because I was, you know, getting ready to get in there and play with some of the automated stuff that I can do for you. Yeah, I'm not sure what they're going to do there. I haven't played with Beeper yet. The one thing I was going to mention from the hosting side, this is not really giving anything away, but like you were saying, the tier one support stuff, that Bluehost already started tinkering with. I don't know if you've heard of DocSpot AI. It allows you to feed in, you know, the same like Notebook Element stuff too, allows you to feed in documentation. So we've got all of our support documentation and everything feeding into it, and it's not handling like the frontline customer support, but it's giving our support staff a way to do real quick research without having to surf through tons and tons of pages of documentation, right? It's an easy customer asks me a question. Maybe I have an idea, maybe I don't have an idea, or maybe I do and I just want to confirm that what I think is right. I can ask the bot a question that it feeds me back an answer, and then I can put the human touch back on it as I reply back to the customer. And so that's, I think, like a real great starting point, especially for those that are a little bit hesitant to let AI loose and not knowing what it's going to say to your customers, or whether it's going to behave properly or just ask the same question over and over again. I've had support experiences where I'll ask the question because it's a bot, it just like asked me to repeat the question three times.
Yeah.
Just let me talk to a person. So having that, you know, still direct personal connection, but letting the person on the other end have this assistant that knows everything about your support process and about your products and all that stuff, have that wealth of knowledge at their fingertips, and then be able to pass that back on, not copy paste, but like, okay, I have an answer. Now I can write back in human form. I mean, it's human form, but I can write back with, you know, empathy and all that stuff as a normal human would, and still have that layer of human touch in between.
Yeah, that's what DreamHost was talking about, was, you know, using that as very carefully, because they, you know, all the hosting companies don't want to screw up their customer support by just, you know, spitting out auto-generated, you know, who knows what nonsense, you know, like crazy stuff like Pluto is the ninth planet. So there's a lot of internal training. So I'm curious to see all the incremental steps for all sort of that basic stuff that needs to be done. So customer support, onboarding, security, even like, you know, basic e-commerce things like, do you have a credit card attached to your store or some kind of payment processor? And how can we walk you through that?
Yeah, I think that's maybe the possibility for what they're going to do with some of the WP AI stuff is like, okay, you set up a site. I'm a customer. I logged into WordPress. You know, oh, I don't know how to do this. Let me ask this window on the side. How do I do this? It tells me, and then just ask, would you like me to do it for you, right? Here's what you need to do, but I can do it for you because I'm already in the site here. And you just hit, sure, why not? And then let it go fix settings or set up a payment gateway or whatever the case is. I think there's some opportunity there.
Yeah. I mean, how awesome would that be? Like, hey, I have a Chase Bank business account. Can you set up my e-commerce? Yes, I can. I mean, how cool would that be?
Ooh, I don't know. I get a little nervous thinking about it, doing those type of level of things, just because what I worry about with that is that, yes, if it's a web developer that's using that tool and they can double check that everything was properly set up afterwards, I'm good with that. But if you've got someone who's a layperson who does not normally do this and they just go in there and willy-nilly, yeah, hey, do this, fix this, do this, they're not checking that it's properly set up, that it's properly secured, you know? And I mean, maybe if we could train the bot, then also go, hey, you know, it'd be better if we now turn on two-factor authentication for your website or things like that. If the bot goes on to, or the AI goes on to give them more things that they should do to check things.
Well, so, you know, web hosting in general has been commoditized for years. How about this, that hosting companies actually, you know, go through that extra step to do the check? I'm going to put it in quotes because I don't know what that check means. You know,
check is, yeah.
That's the value add. Do I pay $3 a month at, you know, web hosting X, or do I pay $10 a month? But I know if the AI assistant tells me to do this, that it'll be double checked at some point and I don't have to worry about it.
Hosting insurance.
I'm going to put a lot of... This is great because this is on video finally, so I can put quotes and people will actually
see them.
In the past, I would do this and it was just audio.
Well, people may just listen, so you better still say it even though you're saying it.
I'm putting this in finger quotes.
Finger quotes, right. Putting this in finger quotes, I know. So yeah, no, I figure still people will want to listen. My time that I actually have to listen to podcasts is typically when I'm on an airplane. I just download everything before, and while I'm on the airplane, I just listen to my podcast. So, I mean, I guess I could also do video now, but then I'd have to pay for the Wi-Fi on the plane. So, you know.
You can download the video.
I could.
Excuses.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so it would be interesting to see, too, how popular this is going back into video. Because I know we used to do video way back when with Bob. So it would be interesting to see. Well, we're going to watch the master at work here and see what he does with all these videos. Bob's listening to me going like,
I really hope this is the first one so we can set the standard, set the bar.
This is going to end up being 4 minutes long. He's going to cut all of this out.
I know. It's going to be like, hi, happy new year. Listen to Do the Woo. Absolutely. All right.
Visit our sponsors. Don't forget that.
Yes. And don't forget about the sponsors. That's right. Absolutely.
Whether you're a product or a site builder, OmniSend can help you with your customer or client's email and SMS through their CRM solution for WooCommerce. Product builders can bring their plugins and SaaS to a new level for their customers by integrating with OmniSend. And for you developers and agencies, recommending them to your clients for managing their customer relationships is spot on, because it gives them the right tool to build their email and SMS lists, send targeted campaigns, create automation workflows, and track their results, all from within their WordPress dashboard. With over 100,000 e-commerce stores already on board, have your clients and your customers get started for free by simply having them search for the OmniSend plugin on WordPress.org.
I'm going to move us off of the AI topic, because like I said, then we can talk about that for days, obviously. So let's move on. Let's talk about some other things with web development in the new year. And I don't ever talk about this. I don't like to talk about this. And I don't want us to go deep dive into this. What I'm going to say, though, is, do we see the WP drama calming this year? Please, Lord. Do we see it calming this year? That's what I'm going to put out there. We don't have to dive in. I don't want anybody taking sides. I don't want anybody going venomous on here. I just want to know, do we think we see an end in sight?
Two different questions, whether it calms down or whether it ends.
Oh, no, I don't think it's ending. I'm just asking, does it calm down?
I mean, there's a legal process that's going to play out, and it is what it is. You know, community, businesses, stakeholders, the entire ecosystem, we'll probably pay attention to it, but I think it's less important day by day. I mean, you know, there is argument to be made for, you know, do the, you know, WordPress trademarks, intellectual property mean going forward? You know, how is that maintained? Is it properly maintained? So on and so forth. But at the same time, I think most people need to, you know, they need to, and they will deal with their, you know, immediate issues. So same as it always has been: sales, deliverables, production, rinse and repeat. Whether you're a plugin developer, whether you're an agency or whatnot, this will be, you know, part of what's going on in the community ecosystem. But I think, personal opinion, for the most of us day-to-day WordPress users, we'll keep an eye on it. We may raise our hands about something, but we still have to, you know, pay the rent.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think at the very beginning of this all starting, everybody was kind of like, oh my gosh. And then after the next month, most of us had to go back to just doing our work and, like you said, paying the bills. But, you know, there have been enough people who obviously have enough time on their hands to keep this going, because it has continued on social media and such. I will say, so like you said, Robert, we're going to see legal decisions happening this year. And that to me is the most important thing to watch. And I will say, you know, because with OS training, I'm in other communities too, Drupal, Joomla, right? Everybody is watching this. PHP, everybody is watching this from an open source standpoint. Everybody is watching this because the outcomes of this could affect it could affect open source just overall.
I love disagreeing with you, Robbie. I don't think it will.
You don't think so?
Because each of those projects is completely run differently.
Oh, that is true. That is true.
So I think, you know, what we're dealing with in WordPress world is a WordPress-specific issue. An automatic issue, a WP Engine issue. Certainly, it's impacted the community in different ways. I mean, Marcus Bluehost, an official licensee. Newfold is the official licensee. So, I mean, you know, there are all these bits and pieces of the entire conversation. And do any of us really have time to, like, get into the nitty-gritty of that?
No.
Those who get paid to deal with this. I'm happy to see what the outcomes are of it. You know, WordPress changed my life. Wow, what year is it? Over 8 years ago? Jesus.
I know.
By the opportunities and the ecosystems that exist. And I don't think that's going anywhere. No matter what the decisions are.
That is 100% my take on it too, Robert, is that it really doesn't matter which way things wind up, that community is community and it's there anyway. And I mean, it's just like, I mean, you and several other people that are in the WordPress community, we were all in the Joomla community before this, and we all knew each other from there. And community is community. I mean, friends are friends, right? And so, and colleagues are colleagues and such. And so you still build that network. That network is not going anywhere. So I don't think that part of it is going to change. I think I just see it more as a probably a sponsorship and potential sponsorship for open source and things like that. That's where I see we might start to see some changes in pricing, changes in contractual agreements, things like that.
It's been 20 plus years of WordPress. Changes will happen. This,
exactly.
I mean, not now I'm like playing the old man card here, but I've seen many a project come and go and come back again and do, you know, you talk about Joomla. Yeah, I started out at Mambo. So, I mean, that's a fork and, yeah, you know, a company 25 years away. So it's kind of like, you know, we'll all be fine at the end of the day. And yeah, I do have to give props to the creators. I mean, you know, how much of the world runs on Linux? Thank you, Linus. How much of the web runs on WordPress? Thank you, Matt. This is crazy stuff. I mean, everyone's got their days, but these have been internet, web community experience, e-commerce changing things. And we shouldn't, you know, for blips in, you know, however we want, legalese, business, blah, 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 we shouldn't discount the insanely huge impact these open source projects have made on our lives.
Open source has made such an impact, yeah, on our lives, our businesses. And it also, open source has made big impacts on just business overall. Just business overall, even corporates, it has affected their business to have open source models out there. And on the open source note, by the way, and AI, I'll combine those two. It is interesting to see the AI tools that are coming out that are open source. And some of those open source AI tools that are coming out are by the big guys, like Google's open sourcing some of their stuff. I mean, it's like, so that's pretty amazing that open source has become such an acceptable model that even the big guys that are used to making corporate dollars and it's all about, we got to make our shareholders happy, are still embracing open source. Our government, we have a gov open source level. And so our government has embraced open source. Open source has changed business dramatically over the last probably whatever, three decades, I'll say.
Well, I mean, look at, and I'll let Marcus chime in. Sorry, I've been, it's just like, talking. Robert, shut up. But I mean, look at the journey of like Endurance to Newfold with web.com and, you know, registry.com and all that. How much, you know, Newfold has embraced open source and, you know, partnered with, you know, WP Cloud and all these other solutions and tools that are going on, which when Newfold, AKA Endurance, blah, 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 back in the day, probably really wasn't even thinking about. Go ahead, Marcus. You can respond to that.
Marcus is like, oh, I don't want to respond to that.
I don't want to respond to this one. I've been at Bluehost for 6 weeks. I'm not diving into that conversation. Getting back to the original question, I think that there is an inner circle of folks that will continue to keep an eye on what's happening. I kind of disagree with your disagreement that whatever happens doesn't matter. Like, I think there is precedent that will be set by rulings that, if nothing else, will have to be considered by all of the other open source projects. Whether or not they also become rulings or not, they'll have to dance around, well, this happened to WordPress, so we have to be careful here. So I do think that that'll happen. I think there's an inner circle of people that will continue to watch that unfold, see what happens there. But I'll agree with both of you that the majority of the people that are in this WordPress space are going to move on and continue to do what they've been doing, continue to do the work that they've been doing for customers that want to be, you know, online. And so I think, yes, the majority of everyone will move away and be like, you know, I've followed as long as I can. I just need to get back to doing good work. That's what I'm going to do.
Exactly. There's only so much drama anybody can take. And you're just kind of like, okay, I just need to turn the volume down on that, set that over there, and get on with my life. So, yeah. I know for some people, they're more intimately related to what's happening here. And so that may mean that they can't let it go as much. But, you know, for the rest of us.
As former president of Joomla, I know how much people can be personally invested in a project. And it really is their thing. And it's hard to navigate and continue those relationships. And I get it. But also, maybe I'm just slightly cynical on it. It's just code at the end of the day. We can do a lot with it.
And that's fine. And as important as the code is, obviously, I do think that the community around WordPress is what makes WordPress significantly different from a lot of other projects. And so just kind of keeping an eye on what happens with the community over this year, I think is important to just see what's, you know, how big of a percentage is ignoring everything and just moving on, and how, you know, how much of an effect will any of what happens in that inner circle affect the community at large.
Well, we have WordCamp Asia coming up in February. And as far as I can tell, it looks like it's going to be even bigger than the WordCamp Asia last year. So, you know, at least from that perspective, I think people are just like, okay, you know, there's WordPress, the project, there's the automatic WP Engine stuff all the way over here. You know, we're still WordPress folk that, you know, love the code, love the community, love the ecosystem, and we're going to get stuff done.
Yeah, I think that is a testament to the community. That is a community gathering. Yes, it's around this project, you know, that's in the middle of the drama, but I think it is a testament to the community saying, we're still a community. We still want to get together. We still want to be with each other in person, talk business, talk web, and all of that stuff. And so I think it shows kind of how resilient and strong the community is to have an event after all that, that's even bigger than that same event was the year before.
Exactly. It's not like it's going away tomorrow. There's just no possible way. I mean, by the way, you mentioned Mambo. There are still some Mambo sites running on the web today.
Wow.
Somebody needs to update.
I don't know how they've not been. Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Probably a free-for-all.
And I've had people contact me before, and they're like, can you help us with this website? And I'm looking at it, it's like Joomla 2.0. I mean, it's like, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe this thing is still like operating. Yeah. I had a client too.
Touch any button, it'll just be done.
Oh, and I had a client one time. He was like, hey, yeah, can you take a look at my website about, I can't remember what he asked me about. And I realized this, we had not worked on this guy's site in like 10, 15 years, like probably at least. And we had built him a Flash navigation. That tells you how long ago we worked on his website, right? His Flash navigation didn't work. And I was like, well, of course it didn't. Flash isn't even supported anymore. Oh my gosh. I was like, and he was like, well, it's all right. It's on the bottom. They get click. And I was like, yeah, you have a footer menu. I get that. I was like,
the question is, how long ago did he ask you to update the site? Because that navigation hasn't worked in years.
Oh, I know. That's what I was like. I was like, you obviously don't use this website. You don't need this web. It was his main website though. And I was just blown away. He had just let it sit that way with a broken thing at the top.
There are a whole bunch of listeners who can't wait to take over and rebuild that website right now, Rob.
Yeah.
It's been done. Thank you. But I just was still just startled whenever I saw that. And I was just like, good Lord. There's some really old stuff. So my point being though, is even old technology is still around. It's just still around. There's still COBOL programmers out there doing stuff. I mean, you know, we've got old technology. So something like WordPress, which is current, is not going to just go away. Like, I know a lot of people are just like, oh, it's the end of WordPress. I'm like, it's not the end of WordPress. I mean, not the end of PHP people either. Everybody, every year, the prediction is all PHP is old is going away. I'm like, look at the percentages. PHP is going nowhere.
No.
It is, I mean, not going away. It's actually just going to keep
just keeps evolving. Getting better, actually.
I know it does keep getting better. Wow. I mean, it gets getting faster. Yeah. Yeah. So,
I mean, yeah, if you add up, you know, WordPress, just on the open source side, if you add up, you know, WordPress, you know, Drupal, Joomla, you know, other projects, you're already looking at 70% of the web being run by PHP.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. All right. So we've talked about AI. We've talked about the not to be talked about WP drama. And now let's talk about the final thing, because this is Dude Woo. So let's just talk about e-commerce trends, WooCommerce, whichever you prefer to talk about. What are you what do you think we're going to see coming up this year? And what would you like to see coming up this year? So it's a two-parter again. Sorry. I like to ask two-parter questions because I don't like you to give me a yes, no answer on anything.
Yes.
So Marcus, yes. Let's start with you. What would you like to see in e-commerce, and what do you think we might see?
Yeah. What I think will be interesting this year with WooCommerce is following along with the More and Core initiative that WooCommerce has going on, and that balance between the benefits to users and agencies and how that affects developers who are building some of the products that are looking to be kind of incorporated into Core. I think it's going to be interesting to watch the folks that Woo have conversations with customers and agencies and product teams, because they're going to have to. They're going to have conversations with these teams to say, here's what we're thinking about doing. You know, how does that affect you? How does that affect your business? How do we work together with these, you know, with these concepts? And bringing some of those things that I honestly, as someone who's worked on the agency side building WooCommerce sites, think should have been in Core for a long time. But at the same time, I understand also now from having friends that do WooCommerce products and having been a part of Skyverge as well, right? WooCommerce product company. You obviously don't want to take something that's maybe one of your bread and butter plugins and see it disappear as it gets built into Core, and, you know, lose out on that business and all of that. And so I think it'll be interesting to see what gets built in. I think WooCommerce will continue to get better as more of those things that should have always been there are there, and block, you know, building with blocks and stuff gets better over the course of the year and all that stuff too. But at the same time, watching them kind of strike that balance with the WooCommerce product companies, because those WooCommerce product companies are also what keep WooCommerce, you know, being the de facto commerce platform for WordPress. Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you, Marcus. There were several of those things that I saw in their proposed additions that I was like, I always thought they should have just been in there. I don't feel that they're not putting in anything that's going to take down a big plugin out there. It's the little things like being able to just set a minimum quantity on something. You know, I had to pay like $30, $50 a year for a plugin. It's probably three lines of code is what I figured. But I mean, it's like, that seemed like such a basic thing that should have been built into Core, I feel like. And so I agree with you that I think some of the things they proposed should have been in Core anyway. And I also think as a plugin developer, you always know any of your plugins are at risk of becoming not needed anymore. I mean,
the phrase is Sherlocked.
Oh, excuse me. We get the technical phrase here. From
Apple days when Apple Sherlocked their search tool.
Okay.
Oh, this will be fun. All the kids can go Google Sherlocked as a term.
Exactly. 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 All right. So, Robert, what about you?
You know, it's going to be another year of incremental changes. What I kind of hope, magically want to see, is Woo.com come that super simple, stupidly easy payment processing gateway for agencies who want to directly tag into it, or hosted companies who want to utilize it. I think as an end user, consumer end user, small business end user, I should be able to say, I want an e-commerce shop. Click that button, wherever that button may be. And let's say it takes me over to Bluehost and everything's magically set up. Let's use the AI. Let's use, you know, whatever payment gateway. I get a bill that says $50 a month. It's just done. I mean, if I want to sell, you know, a handful of t-shirts, a month. Yeah. Okay. So I sell 10 t-shirts a month. I pay for my hosting, which includes the payment gateway, which includes, I don't need to go through any kind of verification process or whatnot. I want to see that e-commerce portion become completely seamless behind the scenes. Not my problem. I want the new folds, other hosting companies of the world, to just take on that risk and just say, you know, I can sell up to $200 a month and not worry about it at all. And the risk, you know, I just click the button, says, yes, I'm a store.
Yeah, I think we're going to see more of that. I think they've been working towards that, making it a little simpler, more wizard driven. I think that we're also going to see some different payment gateway things happening this year. What I would like to see that I don't know if it's going to happen, because I say this every year. And what I'd like to see is I would like to see WooCommerce putting more marketing budget out there. I'd like to see them actually. I would like to, when I'm watching my streaming TV and a commercial comes up for, you know, Squarespace and then for Wix, I would like to then see, or Shopify, I would like to then see a WooCommerce commercial pop up there, streaming at least. I know that's cheaper, so they could go that route to start with. I would like to see some more mainstream commercials so that WooCommerce becomes an everyday word out there to the general populace, not just inside of the web development world.
It's like the old Intel inside, BotGuard inside, WooCommerce inside kind of thing.
Yes, exactly. So I would like to see them just get a broader reach, a broader look out there. So, you know, you have people who think about it the same way they think about those tools that are advertising at a higher level. But it kind of depends on how easy it is to get into it, right? So that comes back to that needing that wizardy kind of thing so that it is easy. So if you are advertising and the average person just sees it and goes on to online to try and do it, they actually can do it successfully. So yeah. All right. Well, Marcus, when did your new podcast start up again?
Yeah, the first episode will be recorded at the end of this month, so probably early February. It'll be live for everyone, and we'll see what the format looks like. We'll probably have, you know, from time to time, an agency on and ask them five things, or have five agencies on and ask them one thing. But it'll be fun to see just what's happening in the WP agency world and get some more info out there for agencies a little bit broader than just the Woo sphere.
And the official title is?
It is WP Agency Tracks, and it'll be in the main feed and it's its own show, so it'll have its own show feed and all of that stuff too on the Do the Woo Network.
DTW.
Awesome. Awesome. So Robert, where are you going to next? Robert's always going somewhere.
Next on the agenda is DigitalOcean's Deploy Conference in just a couple weeks in Texas. Then, of course, WordCamp Asia, which I'm very excited for.
And I know Bob's going to be there too, right? So
Bob's going to be there. So it'll be Bob and I. I'm officially the gaffer. I'll be taping everything.
Taping everything down.
Taping everything. He's going to tape all those cords everywhere. It'll be great.
Tape. No, like the hardcore tape.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And so if anybody wants to, you know, meet the wizard behind the Emerald City, they can meet Bob at WC Asia. No, everybody's going to be coming up to Bob and going like, Bob is the wizard. I love it.
Jeff Goldblum or Bob? I'll take Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum, he's a strange duck. But he did a good job in that role, by the way. But that is coming from a musical theater fan, so, you know. All right. Well, thank you both for being on the show and chatting about this next year. Now it'll be interesting to see at the end of the year, you know, did any of our hopes happen? And did any of our predictions happen? Who knows? Who knows what will happen? But anyway, hopefully we're all going to have a very good year. I hope all our listeners have a very good year. And keep listening to Do the Woo. We've got even more episodes of Do the Woo, it sounds like, this year coming out.
Yep.
Thank you.
Hey, Bob WP again. Thanks for listening. And thanks to our sponsor, OmniSend. If you've yet to subscribe, you can find us on your favorite pod app, on the Fediverse, and to get all things Do the Woo at dothewoo.io/subscribe. And lastly, watch out as we kick off our new newsletter that will be filled with tips for you to take action on as a builder. Until the next time, take care. Cheers.